Influenza, measles, Ebola, infectious disease is ever present in our headlines and in our lives. Epidemics and pandemics are linked with humanity's ability to travel. Now, cholera's road from India to the Great Lakes is the subject of a recent Michigan History Magazine article, When Cholera Came to Detroit. Peter Wharf of WKAR's Current State checked it out and has a report ready for us. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Mark. You know, you and I both enjoy reading history. We were talking about a distant mirror the other day.
Yes, that's right.
Middle Ages and plague. Well, as you say, infectious disease, epidemic, pandemic is always in our headlines. Richard Adler, professor of microbiology at the University of Michigan, Dearborn, is the author of a recent article, When Cholera Came to Detroit. I spoke with him last week to find out how the British Empire transported cholera from South Asia to the British Isles across the Atlantic and beyond.
And then from Canada, it moved south into Buffalo. And you had to, and it was an interesting juxtaposition. It was, we always talk about timing as being very important in a lot of things, including medicine. And timing certainly played a role here. The idea originated, I was interested in the what was called the Black Hawk War the development of cholera in the Midwest was against that background. But eventually, the book itself was expanded into the five outbreaks that took place in Detroit during the 19th century. But what you had was the movement of the disease south from Montreal and Quebec into Buffalo at the same time that the troops under Winfield Scott coming up from Virginia entered Buffalo. So the background to this was the Black Hawk War in what was then part of Michigan Territory, now it's part of southern Wisconsin. And Illinois and that region of what was then considered the West. And there was an uprising, and the militia, being militia, were pretty inept in dealing with it. So the president ordered Scott to bring regular troops from Virginia. So they went up through New York, took the Erie Canal, which had just been completed a few years before that, to Buffalo at the same time the disease appeared in Buffalo. And that's likely where the troops were exposed. There were four steamboats coming down from Buffalo with the troops, and on at least one of them, cholera broke out. It's not clear where exactly that happened. The ship Henry Clay had transported some cholera victims to Cleveland some months before that, and the ship supposedly had been cleaned. The idea of contagious disease and filth and unsanitary conditions, that hadn't really been developed in the medical mind yet. So whether there was residual infection on the ship or whether the troops were exposed while they were in Buffalo is unclear. But once they reached Detroit, they came down through Lake Erie, and the idea was to go through past Detroit and then up the lakes around Mackinac and then down Lake Michigan to Fort Dearborn, which is now Chicago, and then troops would move out from there. So one way or another, the cholera broke out on the ship while they were on Hog Island, which is now Belle Isle.
It's fascinating to me to see how war and empire is a highway to pandemic in many cases. And in this case, you're talking about going from the British Empire, then to a part of that empire, North America, and then traveling that St. Lawrence Seaway to the Great Lakes and making its way to Chicago. But there's this stop in Detroit.
Yes, yes. In fact, war has been the catalyst for, you know, epidemics, pandemics throughout history. So this is no exception to that.
It seems like there were huge numbers who died in Montreal, 1,000 or more. So
yes,
it really hit pretty hard there.
Yes, and that's one of the reasons why people, victims, were fleeing to try to get away from the outbreak in those cities. And they spread out through much of that portion of Canada. Some of them did cross the Lake Niagara, and entered Buffalo, and some of the other towns around Buffalo at the time as well. And they brought the disease with them. And as we've said, it just happened to be at the time when the regular troops under Scott there at the same time. And then, of course, once the troops were exposed, it was about a three-day trip down the lakes, but also a three-day or so incubation period. so it broke out once they reached the area of Detroit. And from there, there were better medical facilities at Fort Gratiot, which at the time actually was a fort. It was located roughly the base of the Blue Water Bridge now. And in fact, that's where the cemetery is. And once they landed, many of the troops disappeared into the woods. Some tried to migrate south to Detroit along the military highway, which is now Michigan Route 3, Gratiot Road. Some of them just disappeared into the woods where they died.
Yeah, there's a terrifying story you tell of panic and desertion and fear of cholera, where I think you said like 150 soldiers just ran off into the woods.
Yes. It's hard to picture that part of Michigan as being woodsy, but it was at the time. Some of them simply died. Some were probably eaten by animals. They did find the bodies of some when people went out looking for them, or just travelers from Fort Gratiot, because that was also a post road down to Detroit. But yes, there were a relatively large number of individuals, not on the same scale perhaps as in Canada, and certainly not in Europe, but still there were many dozens who died.
Right. Richard Adler is professor of microbiology at the University of Michigan, Dearborn. We're talking about the recent Michigan History magazine article, When Cholera Came to Detroit. That's an excerpt drawn from his book of 2014, Cholera in Detroit, A History. Professor Adler, how did people believe that cholera spread back then in the early 1800s?
Well, the primary view was what they call miasmas, odors from putrefying material in the soil, sometimes just the atmosphere. The terminology of some diseases reflects that, the influence of miasmas, influenza, or the malaria, associated with certain diseases. So with cholera, the idea was putrefaction in the soil, that it was associated with unsanitary conditions. But the 1830s, 1840s, this was a good generation before what became known as the germ theory of disease, the idea that microscopic infectious agents are the causes of these diseases. And in fact, even that took a while to catch on in the late 1800s.
You describe people burning pine tar and, other noxious fuels, and you describe a scene that might have taken place at Woodward and Jefferson in Detroit.
Yes.
What might have been happening there?
Well, and this, in fact, that was a very common way of dealing with these kinds of outbreaks. If you read the Buffalo story, the same thing was done up there. Again, this goes to the idea that there was something in the atmosphere that was causing the disease. And so if you burn this stuff, this noxious material, that this will destroy whatever's in the atmosphere and is causing these diseases. And, of course, they seemed to work, because after a while, the disease itself would die out. And voila, we've done this, and that was the effect, so this must be beneficial. It harkens to the idea that we have to do something. And this seems to be as good an idea as any, and so we'll burn pitch and we'll burn tar, and that'll destroy whatever it is in the atmosphere, the miasma that's causing this disease.
What was the outcome in Detroit?
Well, eventually the disease burned itself out. In the 1832 epidemic is the one we're looking at in the article here.
Right.
But it did return a couple of years later, 1834, in which the governor, who at the time Detroit was the state capital, one of the few times the governor was actually there, he developed cholera and died. And of course that was 1834. The 1832 epidemic, Gabriel Richard, the priest, was, of course, the most notable of the victims.
One of the founders of the University of Michigan, Gabriel Richard, whose life was touched and ended as a result of this. So there's historical figures that are wrapped up in this pandemic. When Cholera Came to Detroit, the recent article in Michigan History magazine by Richard Adler, professor of microbiology at the University of Michigan, Dearborn. Professor Adler, thanks very much.
Well, thank you very much. It was a pleasure talking with you.